Then we were headed away from the lake. It took us 2-3 hours to turn that plane around, headed back to the lake. By that time, we were pushed and it got dark. And the wind didn't come up. Then the other folks came out looking for us. And they were looking in the lake and they didn't see us out in the blueberry bushes. So they went back. And a couple hours later, they come out again. This time they went down the bushes and they found us. They come in and landed. Then they were stuck. Then morning came along and we stayed there that night in the brush and drank tea. Someone drank coffee. Told stories at a campfire to them. And the next morning, the wind came up and we got out of there and went back to camp.
That was on that, when they were
shooting
stars?
No, that was geodetic.
Geodetic.
Yeah, of course, geodetic. And that was down by Platinum. And between Platinum and Hagemeister Island. That was quite a country there. I didn't like it, but the weather was always foul. One day, I was over on the Togiak River with a fellow, and the weather stopped him while I was there, you know. That. We had to stay there that night in a tent with a light keeper. The next morning the weather was bad, and but they had a little ceiling, so we took off. Anyhow, we went about 10 miles down another lake, and 5 miles more down another lake, and then we kept doing that, and we were just about all day going 80 miles. Up and down, as the weather favored. And we put some men out on Hagemeister Island. Supposed to pick them up in the afternoon. Afternoon, way rolling, high as this house. Couldn't get near them. So, we came back to camp, loaded up a sleeping bag and some gravel and all, dropped it to them on the island. A couple of days before we could get back there and pick them up.
See, there's been some hectic experiences up here getting things done, hasn't there?
Yeah. Yeah, it's rough going sometimes, some places.
Well, I guess they've got everything pretty well mapped now, haven't they?
Yeah, and they're flying now. It's not at all like it was in those days, so it's just a different kind of flying. There's nobody going to the lakes anymore. There's nobody landing on the rivers. It's all from airport to airport. Of course, there's more airports now. And everything is more or less precision on the hour now, you know. In those days, the biggest part of the traffic was to lakes and sloughs, rivers, summer and winter both, you know, those prospectors. Trappers out, you know, mining men, you know. They ain't now. No trappers out. No prospectors out. It's a different kind of flying. Yeah, that's a nice deal to land on that field.
Yeah. I landed on there last spring when I was about halfway dozed off.
Yeah. Have they improved it?
It's a pretty nice field now, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All
right. It's pretty good.
Yeah, there's been several planes right there because.
This one I saw was the last one of mine. He just went in over the field and then banked from back down to Buzztown. Come right down through that draw. And I think what he did, he banked too steep and split back with the draw there. And he couldn't get any off this track.
Did
he
get hurt?
He threw him in there. He's got a little cut right by his chin. So that's good. I think he'll try it.
Well, you know what that feel used to be. No matter which way you landed, you wound up going downhill.
I always do. I sit and duck when I'm coming in there.
Yep.
You know, duck the little land feet first in the water.
Yep.
That's just where you feel when you're coming down that field.
1938 or anything like that when he
got to the year he had.
Oh, it was early in the game here. When he first started going to Barrow, he got those three polar bears. He brought them in here and brought in some Bubba with them to feed them until he could get them meat, used to eat the stuff they had around here, which I guess didn't bother him much. And he built a big heavy pen there right beside of his hangar. And then he had a trough there, a big pool of water, you know. He was in that most of the time, especially in the hot weather. And he made that fence pretty skookum one day, and them bears got big, you know. One of them was mean, the other two weren't bad, but one of them was mean, and he was foxy too. And he'd be walking over to the side of the hangar somewhere inside the pen, you know, and he'd catch somebody, get right close to the wire. Look like he's looking at him, you know. And then he'd make him run, and he'd hit that wire, you know. Scare him, but just about half of that. And keep him running in all directions, hauling, screaming. And they used to get loose once in a while, all three of them. Wander off, back into town. Sometimes, you know, come back lot, be nosing around, and of course, everybody's pretty nervous over that. Harold would get some sleeping pills and put it in blubber and down, give him a piece of blubber, and he'd lay down and go to sleep, and he'd get a truck and haul him home. That's expensive.
Quite a genius, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
What's there become of him?
The bears? They went to somebody who else, I don't remember which one. But he had them 2 or 3 years. I guess they cost him a lot of money. Versus, I don't know. Advertising didn't make too much difference in those days, but anyway, if there were a lot of people that saw them, and probably would know.
Is that the point of it?
I guess, yeah. They must have cost him an awful lot of money. I had a polar bear out here, a little cub in the backyard here. That was one of them from Cushmill. Archie Ferguson wished him on to me. The papers are all made out. He'd go out on Pan Am just to get in there. The papers are all made out going to the Baltimore Zoo. Oh, yeah. He was not doing that much, man. And he'd do a stake out in the yard. He was not very big, you know. Not quite as big as a sled dog. Yet. And Pan Am never heard of him. There was nothing ready. I had him there 2 weeks. And some guy had some sled dogs over here. They were big ones, too. And of course, they used to get loose once in a while, one or two of them. One of them got loose, one of the big ones, and he spotted that bear, and I saw him coming, and I was going out to feed the bear. And the bear was kind of mean, too, even for a little fella. And I saw that dog coming, so I just stood to see what was happening. Right at the bear, you know. And the bear saw him coming. He stood up, backed up the end of his chain, stood up, and that dog got within reach on me, hit that dog, and the dog landed out in the street. And on his nose, was spinning like a top. He got up and he ran in every direction, around the circle, and finally he took off, and he was hollering, too. And he never came back. No match for that bear. He never even got a bite of him. The bear was mean. He had a mean disposition, all right. 2 weeks, I sent him eggs, hamburger, raw hamburger, you know. And I'd be coming out with his food, and he'd be hungry, but he'd start fighting me before he'd eat. He tore up a lot of my clothes. And finally, I had to get him out of the yard because kids were coming in to look at him, you know. Somebody was going to get hurt, I figured. So Tex Swanson was here. He was kind of a hard-bitten guy, too, you know. He had a shop down here, Quonset Hut, and he had a fence around it, quite a big yard. You know, a big wire fence around it. So he told me to bring him down there and put him in that shop. He said, I got airplane cushions down there. He said, laying all along the wall, and he can sleep on them. Well, that sounded like a good deal, so we took the bear down there and turned him loose in the shop. It was one of them cardboard shop, wallboard shops, you know. sleep on them cushions. He had a box of cylinders stuck to them and everything else, you know. Sitting up on a shelf on the wall there, climb up and lay down on them cylinders as they slept. Pushing into his fur and everything he didn't care. Finally, he wanted to go outdoors, so he just busted a hole in the wall, went outdoors, broke ground in his hole in the yard. And finally, I guess the tech had him about 2 weeks, and he was getting bigger too, and meaner. And the word come from the zoo, the ship in Pan Am. So we don't crazy the ship to Pan Am out to the Baltimore Zoo. I don't know what happened to him after that, but he's probably still there.
I was wondering, after you guys were all together the other night, there must have been a lot of old stories come up with.
Oh, yeah. Yep, there was. That's supposed to be good.
Yeah, I wish I'd known about it.
Two or three old pilots together, you know.
I'd like to
talk to
see if I could get in there with a tape.
One reminds one guy reminds the other of something, you know, and you get the date to pin down fairly close.
I was kind of wondering. One reason I called you right away, I thought maybe you might remember, you know, since you've been around that party. You might remember a lot of old stories.
No, there wasn't enough of that out there to remind me of anything much. Everybody was having too good a time, you know,
yeah.
Too much fun. Gillum was one of the best tough weather pilots I ever see. He can fly tough weather than anybody ever I saw. And he did it all the time. And he told me that the way he did it, he knew where, of course he knew the country, he knew where all the hills were. And he said he could hear the echo of the motor coming back from the hill so that he didn't have to see him. I see him coming to McGrath there when everybody else is on the ground, including me. And he comes in there, you wouldn't see him, but he was right on the runway. How he ever lined up that runway, I never knew. Pilgrims are not too easy a ship to handle, you know. He'd get on the runway, and you'd think he's going to stay right there, but no, he'd throw on the mail and take off down the river.
Did it sound, then?
That's a lot of it, he did with sound. He knew how the hills were about when they should show up. Hear that echo coming back. He said he had good ears. He must have had to hear that because I never got that shot.
I suppose, too, like a lot of, I know, well, from a business like over the Arctic, where you come out over the ocean, where the clouds are different colors, your problem.
Yeah, it may be, but I don't know if that would do you much good. Temperature changes too. I've taken off from Umiak in the summer, you know, 90 above. 35 minutes I'd be out at the coastline, it would be 35 above. Of course, there's only 2 days we got 90 above that Umiak that summer, but we had it that summer.
But what I mean is, when you come out from over the land,
yeah,
where the water.
Under an overcast. Yeah, you.
The color
open water. We'll throw a different reflection on the clouds and the clouds and the ice will, you know, make it seem like you can see a dark spot, all right.
I imagine you do a lot of tricks.
Oh yeah, you gotta know them all to get by. Sometimes you learn them the hard way too. But when you're flying up there in the winter, you know, and the winters are long up there too. And you got an overcast day or fog. You have no horizon at all. The sky looks just like the ground. It's very difficult.
Land is way out there.
Yeah, that's bad. That shouldn't be done. That's strictly for instruments. Then you get the position there where you can't see nothing. And you'll fly right into the ground, you know.
I can imagine what it'd be like a driven in conditions. Yeah. A lot like that.
they took the picture down. And the only reason we could tell, or the only way we could tell the picture down, he got the ski and money into the picture. The pictures both looked just alike, except for that ski he showed up. And that's just the way it looked, too. Those days there, too, when you find those kind of days, it looks just like you in a bowl.
Down to the airplane and hooked the radio onto it, and boy, I talked to Flower just as plain as day.
here until they bring us out some gas. Sheik was there. So 3 days later, after this blizzard shot off, why, Sheik came out with some gas.
Good thing you knew your position there.
Yeah.
This December 2nd, 1961 interview of Sam White by Sandy Jensen concludes at this point. The second side of the tape, which was indicated in the conversation, was not existing on this tape, nor was a subsequent second tape found.